Verse number 13. We'll begin our reading there. Please, you can go ahead and be seated. I'm just going to jump right into the message. I know what time it is. And so we'll just go straight from our reading tonight. The Bible says in Matthew 5:13, "You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is henceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Heavenly Father, thank you for the day, what we've gone over. May our hearts be united and emboldened and encouraged with the theme and the vision for 2021 and on into the future. We thank you for your goodness and your love. In Jesus' name, amen. The average person today, as I mentioned in the, as I was going through the updates and the vision and so on for the new year, I mentioned a lot of people are just about playing church or looking for man-made programs, but not God's programs. One man said, "The greatest threat to Christianity, listen, the greatest threat to Christianity is not communism, it's not atheism, it's not materialism, and it's not humanism." He said, "The greatest threat to Christianity is Christians trying to sneak into heaven incognito without ever sharing their faith, without ever living out the Christian life, without ever becoming involved in the most significant work God is doing on planet Earth." This is exactly, he writes, the problem Jesus was trying to remedy in the Sermon on the Mount. And one preacher from the 1960s, a very famous preacher, very well known anyways, perhaps not famous, he said, "If my church ever convinces itself that they are not going to see people saved and baptized, if my church convinces itself that it is too hard to win people," he says, "then we are out of business. We have the same gospel, we have the same Bible, we have the same Holy Ghost." And he says, "We have 10,000 times more equipment than the early church ever had." From Scripture, we see that we are commanded, we are commissioned to go with the gospel. And the early church in Acts grew because they reached people. And they didn't have the literature like we have. They didn't have sound systems or smartphones or websites or even organized soul winning times. They just went out wherever they were with the gospel. And you know what they did have, though? They had the Holy Spirit. Over 30 times in the book of Acts, you find the secret of it all. And it's encompassed in two words, what made the church and the early church a success. It's these two words, witness and witnessing. They got the job done because they went out intentionally to share the gospel. You know that God, what God says in His Word, it worked in the book of Acts and it'll work today. Sharing the gospel, it worked in the book of Acts and it'll work today. It's the only thing that'll work. It works everywhere. So we see tonight, I want to look at a couple of things. Turn, if you would, to Matthew chapter 22. A couple of things when we think about this responsibility of being salt and light. Matthew 22, verse 34, it says, I'm going to read a few verses. "But when the Pharisees heard that he had put the Sadducees to silence, they were gathered together. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him and saying, 'Master, which is the great commandment in the law?' Jesus said unto him, 'Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." As we think of this idea, this of the purpose, the theme of being salt and light, we are given a divine challenge. A divine challenge. And with a mission that's this important of going into the world, God makes our instructions very clear. Here in Matthew chapter 22, Jesus lays out the basics for our part of His plan. And the first thing that He mentions for us here this evening is the great commandment. And it records several attempts in Matthew chapter 22 by the enemies of Jesus to trip Him up with hard questions. And after Jesus answered the questions from the Herodians and the Sadducees, a Pharisee tries to stump Jesus. And it's interesting, as I got to studying this was what they did for fun. They sat around and tried to outsmart each other, to stump each other. And it was one commentator said it was a time-honored tradition, like baseball in America. They would ask each other hard questions to make the other person look foolish when they couldn't answer. And not much of a hobby, if you ask me, but one way they often tried to stump each other was with the question, what is the greatest commandment? According to some Jewish text, there were 613 commandments in the Jewish law. Imagine how much time could be wasted arguing about a multiple choice question with 613 options. We can only imagine what the Pharisees might have considered the greatest commandments. Jesus narrows it down to two. The first thing he tells us is, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. And we've gone through training in our church. In the last year, we went through a soul-winning program on Wednesday night. It was called Take It Personally. We've got some copies there in the sound booth. We've got copies of the workbook we went through. If you'd like that, please take them. We'll let you have them. But what Jesus is reminding us here, that the foundation for us being salt and light, the foundation for us going with the gospel of Jesus Christ, it begins with a heart for God. It begins with loving God. It begins with the right focus. He said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God. He's quoting Deuteronomy chapter 6. It says, now these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that you might do them in the land whither you go to possess it. He said, that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God, to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command thee, that thou and thy son's son, all the days of thy life, and that thy days may be prolonged. Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that he may increase mightily, as the Lord God of thy fathers has promised thee in the land that floweth with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5 says, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. He tells us we need to have a love for God. It means God must be preeminent. He must be the priority in our life. And one missionary who was a director of a missions board, he often interviewed candidates that were coming to help him in his mission field. And on one occasion, he met with a group of applicants who were determined that they're in their motivations for service. And he would ask, why do you wish to go as a foreign missionary? He said, because I want to go because Christ has commanded us to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Another said, I want to go because millions are perishing without Christ. Others gave different answers. Then this seasoned veteran missionary said, all of these motives, however good, will fail you in times of testing and trial, in times of tribulation and possible death. He says, there is but one motive that will sustain you in trial and testing. Namely, he said, the love of Christ, loving God. Jesus said in John 14:15, if you love me, keep my commandments. Jesus begins by saying, the great commandment is love God. And then he says, he added a second. He said, and the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And he said, on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. He explained that the commandments, that all the commandments that they were arguing about were covered by these two. In John 13, verse 34 and 35, Jesus said, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. That'd be good news for us, because everyone can love. Everyone has the ability by the grace of God to love one another. Loving God, loving others simply requires that we yield our gifts, yield our will to God for His glory and for the good of others. To be salt and light this year, our Heavenly Father has given us a divine challenge. Then if you would, take your Bibles to Matthew chapter number 28. Not only has He given us a divine challenge, He's given us a divine command. We've referred to it, Matthew 28. Verse 18 through 20, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Verse 19 then says, once Jesus tells us that he has all power, once Jesus tells us that he is in command and control of all things in heaven and in earth, once Jesus tells us that he possesses all authority in heaven and in earth, once Jesus says he is more than enough to get the job done, then he tells you all you have to do is go. Go. It's amazing to think that our Heavenly Father saw us in our sin, in our need, in our wickedness, and moved on our behalf. He sent His Son to bear the sins of the world on the cross, and what Jesus expects of His disciples, of His children, what God expects of you and I, of His children, is to follow the example He set. Man has a desperate need because of the condemnation that awaits, and Jesus commands us because we hold the cure, we hold the relief for man's greatest need in the gospel of Jesus Christ. When Jesus gave this final command, He prefaced it with an amazing statement that all authority, all power belonged to Him. All power belonged to Him. This amazing position meant Jesus could give an equally amazing command, one that reached the whole world, and we are called to invite others to know the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. It's amazing to know that we go with great authority, but we go also with the promise of His presence as well. He said, "And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen." We have a great responsibility. We can see examples throughout Scripture of those who came to know Jesus Christ and who the gospel was used to change hearts and change lives for the glory of God. That's what we want to see here. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 1 talks about how these Thessalonian believers turn to God from idols. And that's what salvation is. It's turning from a sinful lifestyle, turning to Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life. It talks about how that they repented of their sins and meeting Jesus Christ, knowing Jesus Christ changed their life. It gave a picture of what Jesus said in the gospel, in Matthew's gospel, about we're first to go, we're then to teach, we're then to baptize, and then we're to disciple these new believers. That's the picture. I believe that's the order that God has for North Woodlawn Baptist Church, is we must go. We must go with the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's good to know that when this plan is faithfully followed, that it's successful. In Acts chapter number 2, the Bible talks about Peter following the plan, teaching repentance repentance and salvation by Jesus Christ. And in Acts chapter 8, Philip preached Jesus unto the Ethiopian eunuch and taught him the doctrine of salvation, taught him how he could be saved. And the Great Commission gives us our marching orders to proclaim the gospel, and the Great Commandments give us the motivation. I encourage us tonight, as we think into 2021, let's be salt, let's be light, let's reach our community for the gospel, let's do great things for the glory of God in the new year. And I'd like to take a moment tonight as we conclude our services this evening and just give us opportunity to, in fact, yes, on a Sunday night, I'd challenge you and I'd encourage you to find your way to this altar tonight as a church, as we begin this new theme, and just ask the Lord between you and Him, "Lord, make me salt. Lord, help me be a light in 2021. Would you do that with me? Would you join with me? If you can move, if you can come to this altar." It's a different thing when we come and kneel before the Lord and join our hearts together as an independent New Testament Baptist church. I'd encourage us this evening, take a few moments before the Lord and say, "Lord, help me to be salt. Help me to be light. There are so many people that need to be saved, that need to see Jesus. May they see Jesus in me. But more than just seeing Him, may they come to know Him as Savior." I'd encourage you, let's stand with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. I'd encourage you, church family, to make your way down here. Pray, "Lord, give me someone. Give me someone. Maybe just one that I can share the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ with in this year."